I do that.
Members, I'm going to call the meeting to order. We do not quite have a quorum yet, but I can tell folks kind of where we do have a quorum now. Thank you, Representative Anderson. We will go into quarter of six. We have a caucus. We will recess for exactly 1 hour, not a minute longer, and come back here. Okay, we can do that. We will come back then exactly an hour, and we have three bills up. It's possible that we could get through all three this evening, but we're not going to stay late. We do have time tomorrow, and so let me know how you all would like to proceed. I really don't care. We do have a full hearing tomorrow, hearing time, and we can, between the two of them, get these done. So if people have preferences, let me know. You can say it, but also let me know by how many questions you ask. Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, just, I don't know exactly what the schedule is, but maybe when we recess here at 5:45, maybe we could just adjourn and then come back tomorrow and finish our work. Would that work?
No, we are going to get more done tonight because then we have two bills tomorrow, and that's not enough. So we will come. We will be coming back. Representative Anderson.
Well, Madam Chair, I was just going to mention to you that we have corn growers tonight, which we'd certainly like to be able to stop down and visit our friends from corn country.
Okay, well, we have an hour break, and I hope you get a chance to get down, and we can go really fast. Representative Dill, would you?
Madam Chair, I'd like to move House File 2852. That's the game and fish bill.
And Representative Dill moves that House File 2852 be re-referred to the Committee on Taxes. And I understand you have an oral.
Yep. I think everyone on this committee knows what the game and fish bill has to do with. Pretty much, I look around except maybe Representative Freeburg. Everybody's been on here at least once and heard a game and fish bill. So I have an oral amendment that has to do with Section 50. That's and it's to delete Section 50. That's Representative Hansen's quail recovery plan report, and that's because that the language and the cost is being carried in your bill, finance bill, Madam Chair.
Thank you for bringing that up. I had it as a note of something we needed to do. Representative Dill moves that Section 50 be removed. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? Section 50 is removed. Representative Dill.
Next amendment that I have in my order is the Hansen Amendment, which would be the A11.
Representative Hansen.
Mr. Chair, or Madam Chair, and Representative Dill, this is a DNR amendment relating to defining inspection and to provide for the collection and sampling. You'll note those are kind of two words that are needed when you're doing inspection. So. I'd ask for a support.
I don't see any questions. All those in Representative Dill, is this Representative Dill is thumbs up. All those in favor of 11A say aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? That amendment is adopted.
Madam Chair, the next amendment is the A12 amendment. That's my amendment. That has to do with the Hornstein cattail language. It's purely technical in nature. I'm not certain it needs any discussion, but willing to answer any questions.
Representative Dill has moved A12. I see no question. Representative McNair.
Madam Chair, I'm just wondering, nobody's going to, we're going to keep this amendment in here even with the Hansen amendment that we put on yesterday? Is the plan to leave this in here?
What?
This Section 51? Representative Dill, you're just doing something technical. But we're going to leave this 51 in here still? You're not?
I was not making, Madam Chair, I was not making a motion to delete the section. It will just be carried in two different places. As I said, this particular amendment is really a technical amendment. If we want to have a discussion on whether it's in the bill or out of the bill, I feel that would be another discussion.
Okay. But we are now on A12. Does anybody else have any other questions on A12? Representative Hansen.
Let me just say, Representative McNamara, I moved that last night, and Representative Dill clarified where the bill was, and I Representative Hackbarth asked me about this, and I didn't even know it was going to be in the Game and Fish Bill, and by that time, the clock has run.
So let me, if I remember correctly, this had a $3,000 cost. Am I correct about that?
Madam Chair, not this. The study. This is not the study. This is the Hornstein bill telling them to issue the permit.
All right. Those discussions are the discussions that are going on. Okay. For the A-12, I see no further discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposition?
Madam Chairman, the next amendment is the A-15 amendment, and this is the language that was adopted last night in the finance bill. I just want to carry it in the Game and Fish bill as well. It has to do with the appropriation of the money for the trap shooting, the youth trap shooting facility improvements, and for improvements in other shooting facilities. It's all from the Heritage Enhancement account of the Game and Fish Fund. So I'd like to move the A-15 amendment. It's the exact same language as we adopted into the finance bill last night.
I don't see any questions. All those in favor of A-15 say aye.
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 Any opposition? Okay. That amendment is adopted.
The next amendment is the A-17, Madam Chairman. This amendment is language for the from the policy bill that inserts language requiring the development of a master plan to conserve the natural and cultural resources, the Minnesota River Valley area in Redwood and Renville counties. The provision has a cost of $10,000, but the agency has indicated that they can absorb that cost. The agency's here. The provision is being put in the Game and Fish bill to be vetted in the Ways and Means Committee despite the cost being absorbed by DNR. So I'd like to move the A-17 amendment.
Representative Dill has moved A-17. I have one quick question for the department. This is directing the Commissioner of Natural Resources to develop a master plan in the Minnesota River Valley in Redwood and Renville counties. What is your relationship with the counties? Are you engaging the counties in this?
Madam Chair, members of the record, Bob Murray, Department of Natural Resources. Most definitely, Renville and Redwood counties are involved. We've had a stakeholder process to kick off the event. Representative Torkelson and other members who represent the district have been involved as well. So there is a lot of support. And just we have included language in here to meet the questions that you had raised in the policy committee on lines 1.9 to 1.10 that state after the comma, including a connection to the Minnesota River State Trail, authorized under Minnesota Statutes 85.015 sub 22. So that would include the whole Minnesota River Valley corridor, Madam Chair.
Thank you. I was more interested in the county involvement. Representative Torkelson.
Just to clarify, Madam Chair, local stakeholders have held a series of meetings in regard to this issue and have had extensive discussions on the issue. There's a lot of local support to do something in the River Valley. One of the sticking points has been where the DNR is at on the various types of land that are available and the various trail proposals that are being considered. So I think this is very appropriate action.
Okay. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposition?
I have no further amendments, Madam Chairman, and I'm ready to proceed with the bill.
Okay. A-17 has been adopted. And Representative Dill, would you like to talk a little bit about the bill?
Well, I mean, for those in the audience, and I don't know if we're on TV tonight or not, but or today, but I mean, this bill basically addresses the all of outdoor issues across the Department of Natural Resources, outdoor recreation. It enhances fishing, wildlife resources, hunting opportunities. It repeals obsolete language and redundant statutes and streamlines a few existing laws to the fish and wildlife area of law and populations and habitat. It's always a popular and thorny bill from time to time because a lot of people want a lot of things, and the DNR is always involved in the conversations. And I have nothing else to say about the bill. We can answer specific questions on the bill if you have them.
Representative Hanson.
Madam Chair and Representative Dill, I was looking through the bill, and in government operations, we'd added a provision relating to county commissioners and drainage districts, and I can't find it in here. You remember we did vote that in because it had been heard in both committees, and I think that's a technical oversight. You may remember, unless you can find it in there.
I think Madam Chair, you're correct. I think that is a technical oversight. I prevail to the chair as to how to deal with that. If you want to do an oral amendment here before we pass the bill, I don't know that we're actually ready. We could do that. I could offer that in taxes and get it adopted if that is how I want to proceed, or support it on the floor. Sorry that we didn't get it in there.
Where does the next bill go, or where does this go next?
Taxes,
and I'm on taxes, Representative Dill. So if we could maybe talk to Chair Lincheski and say that this, it was voted on, it's supposed to be included, and it wasn't. So
you are, Madam Chair, Representative Hansen, you are correct. There's a lot of moving parts in this bill, and occasionally one of those moving parts gets dropped on the floor. So,
okay, with that, I would not make any motion at this time, and we would talk about dealing with it in taxes.
I think we are ready. I'm looking at members. I don't see any questions or anything, and it seems that everything is resolved. All right, then Representative Dill renews his motion that House File 2852 be recommended to be re-referred to the Committee on Taxes. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? On to taxes. That is adopted. Representative Dill, I think we're just going to go ahead that you're up there, and we're going to do 2733.
And Madam Chair, I'd like to move House File 2733, and I'm not sure what the destination is. That's not taxes, I don't believe.
Well, it depends on how the amendments go. Okay. It will either go to the floor or to Ways and Means.
My plan is to go to the General Register.
General Register or Ways and Means.
First thing, Madam Chair, of course, this is the DNR policy. It has to do with policy and technical changes that do the same kind of things that enhance and make opportunities for rulemaking when we change things in the Game and Fish Bill. It makes all kinds of different pieces fit together. And so it's a technical bill. But first, I have an oral amendment to delete Section 40. And this language requires the development of a master plan to conserve natural resources in the Minnesota River Valley. This provision will be and was amended onto the Game and Fish Bill and will be going to Ways and Means and can be vetted totally there.
I don't see any questions. All those in favor of removing Section 40, right?
Correct.
That's page 23. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? That amendment is adopted.
The next amendment I have in my list is the A9 of Representative Packard.
All right. Would you like to describe the amendment for us?
Madam Chair, I'd move amendment A9.
Oh, all right. Representative Hackbarth is moving Amendment A9.
Yes, and as you recall, this was an issue that we were dealing with earlier in another bill, and you had some concerns about it, and I believe that the folk came and talked to you about it and worked out this language to change this definition.
And, Madam Chair, I'd support the language. That is what you and I and others discussed at an earlier stop on this. It had to do with it said off-highway tires or something like that. I can't remember exactly the acronym, but this takes care of it, apparently.
Yes. I don't see any questions. All those in favor of A9 say aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? A9 is adopted.
Okay, then the next amendment I have that I'm offering, Madam Chair, is the A10 amendment. And I'd like to have Mr. Bone come up and give a short description of the amendment if he's in the room. Not in the room. This expands the definition, as I understand it, to OHV relative to the... one moment. Is this wrong? Right. Very good. This expands the definition to include off-highway motor vehicle safety courses so that they match up with the ATV training courses that we offer now, so that there's continuity between the program. Also, in Section 43, it has to do with some master plan revisions, and this has to do with the Taconite State Trail, the Lake Vermilion Trail, and the Bearhead State Park Trail. The DNR has indicated to me that they will get this done by June 30th, 2015, and I'd like to have the DNR come up and discuss that issue. If you could come up, Mr. Meyer. Thank you. Particularly, this is one of my constituents' issues, and I'd like to have it on the record that they are, that they may or shall or will. Your choice, Mr. Meyer.
Madam Chair, members, for the record, Bob Meyer, Department of Natural Resources. We have been working with the constituents in Representative Dill's district and other stakeholders on this issue. Actually, the Lake Vermilion Master Plan does allow for this south of Highway 169. Taconite Trail and Bearhead State Park master plans will be updated to deal with this use, and we will complete it by June 30th, 2015.
That is my interest in the in that part of the amendment. So with that, Madam Chair, I'll delete Section 43 of the amendment, which starts on line 1.23 and ends on line 1.26, I believe. You may check with Ms. Taylor to make sure I got that correct. And with that, I'd move the amendment as amended, if that's correct.
Representative Dill is removing Section 43. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? That amendment is adopted, the amendment to the amendment. All right. Representative Dill.
And, Madam Chair, the next amendment is the A-12 amendment.
Wait a minute. We haven't adopted A-10 yet. Are there questions to A-10 itself? We deleted part of it. Mm-hmm. Are there questions to A-10? All those in favor of A-10 say aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? Okay, A-10 is adopted.
Now the next amendment that I have that I'm offering, Madam Chair, and thank you, is the A-12 amendment, and this has to do with making the tampering of odometers similar to and the same as for off-road vehicles as well that we have in that we have put in earlier in another bill. And so now you won't be able to tamper with any of those things, legally.
Members, are there questions here? Does DNR have anything to say about this? DNR is shaking up DNR's head, saying no, they don't have anything to say about this. All those in favor of A-12 say aye.
Aye.
Any opposition?
The next
amendment is adopted.
Next amendment, Madam Chair, is the A-13 amendment. This is in Section 32 of the bill, and I'd like for the DNR to come up and make some comment on this.
Madam Chair, members, for the record, Bob Meyer, DNR. This language here is a compromise language that initially this bill was going to repeal 103G.305 sub 1 because of the 30-day, 150-day permit approval language. We have worked with stakeholders, and everyone agrees to changing this 30-day time limit to a 150-day time limit, which is inconsistent, I should say, with the permitting timelines that we have for all our other permits right now.
And this is a workable timeline?
Yes, ma'am.
Representative Metmer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Meyer, I miss who were you working with, did you say, and in arriving at this 150-day compromise? I missed that.
Madam Chair, Representative McNamara, I'd worked with the Chamber of Commerce on this issue, and they do support the amendment.
And, Madam Chair, and then Mr. Meyer, what about the Irrigation Association? Isn't this in that area, too, because currently there's some lead time there? Does this help maybe put us in a position where we'll be granting those permits and fulfilling them in the 150 days? Is that the intent?
Madam Chair, Representative McNamara, most definitely. Actually, the 30-day time frame, the problem with that time frame was we would have to say no faster if we needed more information. We were still under the 150-day timeline from the permitting goals that were established several sessions ago. So this just brings this permit in line with the 150-day time frame that we have, allows us a little bit more time to make better decisions that will hopefully be favorable for all involved.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Meyer, when is a permit application deemed complete?
Madam Chair, Representative Fabian, it would be when we approve or deny that permit. So this is the language says that the commissioner gives us 150 days rather than 30 days to make sure that the work is done, that everything is taken care of. We may need to clarify this language a little bit more to deal with that situation. I see what you're talking about now.
Madam Chair, thank you. And I appreciate the willingness to work on that, because oftentimes, you know, you submit an application for a permit, but if they don't deem the permit complete, when does the clock start? And does it start on the day that I submit the application? You have to make a determination that the permit is complete, and then does the clock start? So I would also strongly encourage you to have some language that clearly defines when the permit application is deemed completed, and then the process for approving or denying the permit starts.
Can you do that if I pull the amendment?
Madam Chair, Representative Fabian, if you look on lines 1.5 to 1.6, it says 150 days after the application for the permit and the required data are filed in the commissioner's office. So we can clarify that. We can either pull the permit today, or we can keep this in and work on the language as it progresses, whichever the committee prefers.
Madam Chair, I will draw the A15 amendment. Mr. Meyer.
A13.
Okay. I'll stand still for the minute. Apparently, Representative McNamara wants to add something.
Yep.
Okay, Representative Anderson, then Representative Fabian, then Representative McNamara.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Yeah, when we mentioned the irrigation, could you give us a little bit of what's happening in terms of issuing these permits? Is this the same as the well permit, the water use permit? Are we talking about the same thing here? And with some of the new rules put into effect after last year, how are these things being acted upon? Are they being done in that 150 days for the most part?
Madam Chair, Representative Anderson, definitely. And our reports show that, our annual reports on the permitting goals. The 30-day, the problem with the 30-day language was we would have only 30 days to act on that permit, as the language says right now. So to be consistent within the law, realistically, we would have to say no within or yes within 30 days. As I think I know Representative McNamara, Representative Torkelson, other members that we've been talking with, that we're dealing with these irrigation permit issues, it takes more time than 30 days to do that. This amendment will allow us to achieve that goal, and the 150 days is a more realistic time frame. Less than 150 days or less is the way we look at it, actually. So we'll need to work with this language a little bit. This is all we're doing is taking existing statute, striking 30, and inserting 150 days here. So the problem that we're talking about is already there. So we can talk about how to fix that and deal with that as we move forward with the bill.
It's a little difficult to change this. There are financial implications if you shorten the time so much. But Representative Dill, I believe you've withdrawn this amendment.
Yes, I'd like to withdraw the amendment. We'll get busy on it. If we can get it fixed before we finish the bill, we will bring it up again.
Okay. The next one up is 14 was in your packet. I understand that has been withdrawn. We're now on to 15.
Thank you, Madam Chair. That's my amendment, and I would like to move it for inclusion in the bill. And we've had such a great track record of moving quickly and approving all these amendments. I'd be happy if we would just go ahead and do that, but if not, maybe we should have a little discussion.
I think we're going to have a little discussion here.
I see. Well, I thought I'd try, Madam Chair. This amendment relates to the current work that the DNR is doing in the area of groundwater appropriations. There have been a number of problems in various...
Just before you describe it, why don't we just have DNR... They're going to get questions, so let's just have them sit there instead of standing there. Okay. Okay.
All right.
So they can hear you now.
Okay.
I don't.
I'll let them get seated. I don't want them to be at all uncomfortable. So there have been a number of problems cropping up with. We're really in a transition period here from an old set of rules and regulations and permitting a new set of rules and regulations and procedures. And there have been a number of folks that have been kind of caught in between. They had started the process under the old rules and are now trying to finish the process under the new rules. It's caused a number of problems. I'm not going to describe them at this point, but I think it's quite, most of us that work in this area know that there have been issues. What we'd like to do with this amendment is really kind of bring the language in the statute more in line with what's actually happening on the ground as we speak. And with that, I will let the agency address the amendment. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Well, before the agency addresses it, members, I think you need to describe what the amendment does, and then I have a question.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. The big problem in this existing language is the word potential. It's very hard to define, and potential impacts could be almost anything. And so the agency has felt that they have to be very aggressive because of this language. By addressing it as proven negative impacts, you really actually are putting the agency in a position where they can use good science to determine whether or not to issue these appropriation permits. So with that, Madam Chair, is that enough, or do you want me to continue?
No. When you say use good science, then there's the legal issue that I am struggling with here. On line 1.5, you say are proven. Is that like beyond a reasonable doubt? Is that clear and convincing evidence? What is your legal standard for proving?
I am not a lawyer, Madam Chair, but I would ask you what the legal standard is for potential. I think it's just as clear as potential.
I think that's you can deflect that question if you'd like, but the question of what proven means is significant in this context. Is this beyond a reasonable doubt, clear and convincing evidence, reasonable man standard? What is it?
Perhaps we should turn to counsel, Madam Chair. Put her on the spot.
Madam Chair, members, proven in this instance would not be a defined term, and it would be, I guess, up to the agency to determine how they would implement the provision.
Madam Chairman, suppose if there's something that we want, will we want, is there a word between proven and potential? Seems to me there's got to be like 3,000, but, you know. Is there something that you know, that would be in legal terminology that would make sense? Or there was something that would tie down potential a little bit? You know, not, I'm looking for something less. Are there any modification of either of those two words that would be less open-ended on either side?
I'm not sure who you're addressing the question
to Ms. Terrell,
Representative Kahn. She's thinking. The wheels are turning. Yeah. I just have to add that I'm a farmer and a former music teacher, and I don't have a clue.
Mr. Chair, or Manager, members, the term that comes to mind is I've seen demonstrated used in the past.
We can ask the DNR that. Let me tell you, the caution I have about our proven is that DNR will say it's reasonable to think that it will have a potential impact or a negative impact. That's one legal standard. A person who wants that irrigation permit will say, no, you haven't proven it beyond a reasonable doubt or with clear and convincing evidence. This is not, I see this as wonderful fodder for lawyers. I mean, and that's why we have to consider this language extremely carefully. So, and I think Representative Hansen is next.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And since DNR is sitting there, I'd like them to comment on it. And I also see the Trout Unlimited folks are in the audience, and I'd like them to comment as well. So if DNR could give their perspective.
Madam Chair, members, Steve Hirsch, DNR Ecological and Water Resources Director. So just very briefly, we have the same concerns with the use of the language are proven to. If, you know, with scientific data, there's always some uncertainty, and we see that there's a high risk of challenge. We have a due process with permit decisions, and people can challenge those, and that our proven language could prove to be problematic for us, I think, in some of those challenges, because it potentially sets a pretty high bar. The other point I would make is that it's going to result in higher costs if we have this higher bar for information. And just so the committee is aware, I think it'd be higher costs for DNR in terms of evaluating these permit applications, higher costs for the permit applicants who will have to submit the information to help us determine whether the proposed appropriation would be proven to have a negative impact. And then also, I think, additional monitoring requirements, which, you know, depending on how we are operating in a particular case, might be monitoring costs that the department absorbs or monitoring costs that the permit applicant absorbs.
So what I am hearing here, I think, is a need for a fiscal note on this bill and our omnibus bill has passed. While I am thinking about it, while members are thinking about it, we do have somebody else who's sitting up there willing to testify. Mr. Lincheski.
Yes, my name is John Lincheski. I'm here for Minnesota Trout Unlimited. We're very disturbed to see this amendment pop up today, and we're just kind of shocked that trout streams are getting singled out for removing protections. So, you know, the public generally recognizes that trout streams are pretty unique, somewhat rare resource at this point. They're less than 7% of the miles of rivers and streams we have in the state. It's kind of the best of what's left, and in big chunks of the state, there are no more trout streams. You look at a map, big areas don't have it. It's just sort of concentrated in the southeast and northeast at this point. And, but you know, the amendment goes to, it addresses just generally impacts to surface waters, really. But then it singles out trout streams. And we're just kind of flabbergasted by this one. Really have a problem with the notion of that this sort of prove that it will have an impact. The only way you're going to prove it's to have an impact is to allow it to have the impact first. And so we've already gone and destroyed it. We've seen that all over the state for decades now, slowly losing all these streams bit by bit. So the language would seem to allow the destruction, then you can prove you've impacted it. So this is just very disturbing. We're really opposed. You know, and I represent sportsmen and women. I mean, this is, we have a constitutional right in this state to hunt and fish, but apparently it's okay to eliminate the places to fish. So we're quite disturbed. A lot of these trout streams, there's huge public investment in them. The citizens recognizing these are kind of unique and rare, and yet we're very concerned that this amendment would sort of undo the progress in the last 5 years. I think we're starting to get in a more enlightened approach, realizing that some of these rare resources are rare because they're sort of the canary in the coal mine, if you will. We're on the leading edge of what we'll lose first in natural resources. And so, again, we're very disturbed by this amendment, and really just don't understand why we're on trout streams and trout anglers and men and women who buy trout licenses and trout stamps, and so we're opposed. Thank you.
Representative Torkelson.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair, and to Mr. Lincheski, would you say that there are no activities on the landscape today that have an impact on trout streams?
Madam Chair, Representative, there certainly are impacts out on the landscape that are impacting trout streams. I do think in the case of these water appropriation permits, this is a sticky area, and I think the DNR is, you know, from our perspective, they've never denied permits in the past, and we've been losing drought streams left and right. And so now we're finally seeing an opportunity to maybe say, let's slow down where we've got some, where we're starting to see some of these early warning signs of impacts. And we think that's a good thing. We are, you know, pro business, agriculture, all that. We think we can all work together to sort this out, but, you know, we don't think this is the way to do it. It's just sort of wholesale, say, prove it by letting it get impacted first.
Madam Chair, thank you. Well, I think we're really on the same track here. We agree that there may be some impacts on these trout streams today. There's no intention in this legislation or this amendment to destroy anything. It's to protect both the trout stream and those that utilize water for other purposes. And just by demonstrating impact, I think to say that that threatens these trout streams with destruction is an exaggeration. Now, the DNR is there to protect these trout streams, but at the same time, we want this work to go ahead in an effective manner that protects businessmen, too.
Madam Chair, Representative, I don't believe it's your intention to destroy these streams. I think it may have that effect, though, and that's our concern. And I think it's the language of the amendment. I think, from our perspective, the DNR, their operating procedure, from our perspective, is to give every benefit of the doubt to the water user, the applicant. And so I really don't see that would change somehow. I mean, I think they're going to take a careful approach. I think they're trying to work out the situation, say, in the Vermilion watershed and other places. And I think it's too early to jump on and say, we gotta change this law, instead of see how it plays out a little bit. Because I think they're going to try hard. And we certainly have an interest in working it out, too, because, you know, we think we can have a strong economy and a strong angling opportunities. I think if we have a little more time, that can be worked out. But again, I don't think it's your intention to do that, to harm these, but I think this amendment might have that effect. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I agree. Perhaps we should set this aside for now and try to negotiate some language that would be more agreeable to all the parties involved. And since we are setting aside the other amendment, perhaps we could leave this till tomorrow. Is that a possibility, Madam Chair?
I was hoping to get this bill out before. We have two issues. The language is one issue, and I have a question if it's going to cost DNR more. I've got to have a fiscal note. So there are two things that need to be resolved. We could hold this bill until after we come back from break to try to work something out. That might work. But those are the two issues that would have to be resolved. I suspect you could work something out this evening yet.
All right, let's give it a try. If you don't mind, we'll withdraw this amendment temporarily.
We won't vote on the bill right now. Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Torkelson. I was thinking along the same lines. Mr. Lincheski, I do have a couple of questions. And, Madam Chair, I appreciate your willingness to work on this, and I think I would also hope that the A13 will be part of those discussions. I think if you're actually going to break for a full hour, I think there may be an opportunity, and maybe Mr. Lincheski could help with some of the conversation. Mr. Lincheski, currently what it says in statute is groundwater appropriations that have potential impacts. So the reality, the DNR is in a really tough spot right now, because I think arguably any groundwater appropriation permit has a potential impact on surface water. So we've got a mess going on right now that we probably should legislatively try and find a workable solution. But I think, Mr. Lincheski, you're an important player here, and the work that your group has done on the Vermilion River to establish it as a trophy-designated trout stream in a major metropolitan area shows that this river is doing very well today compared to where it was 20 years ago. And I just want to confirm with you, just to have on the record, of how well the river is doing today with the water appropriation permits that are going on around it, and the need to preserve that river as the fantastic resource it is today, and that it is doing better today than it was 10 and 20 years ago. And truthfully, the biggest reason is because of the work your group has done. You know that, because the cribs and stuff you've built and all that, with some really good dedicated sales tax money, and before that, game and fish money and stuff. But isn't the river better today than it was either 10, 20, or I know a lot better than 30 years ago?
Yeah, Madam Chair, Representative, it certainly is better than it was 20 years ago. I don't know overall how it is in the last 5 years or the last 1 year, and I guess I'd probably defer to the DNR on that as far as, I mean, they've done a lot of water modeling, and so it's a concern. I mean, I think it's all a concern, and that's what we're trying to sort out here. But I kind of actually, you know, it's funny, from my perspective, they've been giving away the farm too long, and so I trust them to not be too hard on the applicants. But it's a tricky situation, and we'd certainly like to find a way to make sure that the community continues to appreciate that stream as a real, you know, jewel and a bonus, not sort of a negative thing to have in your community. So,
well, thank you, Madam Chair. The only other one I wanted to add is you brought it up, and it's a very important point. If there's fiscal impacts on here, the people that should pay the fiscal costs are the ground appropriation permittees. If there's additional monitoring need to be done, additional work by the DNR, it's the permittees that should pay this, not the Game and Fish Fund, not the general fund. And if we need to increase the appropriation fees to do proper monitoring or the work the DNR needs to do, the appropriation permittee holders should be the ones. And I know you made extensive efforts in that last year, and they met opposition on the other body. But I will give you my word that we should look at that, and that's who should pay that, because they're the ones that are causing the reason for this to happen. So I don't know that this here will have a huge fiscal impact right away, but what we have right now is not working, and I think if we could find something that worked, that would be great. Thank you, Madam Chair, for the flexibility.
Okay, well, what I am noting the hour, and we are going to recess for 1 hour, and if folks would like to get together on this, I have expressed my two huge concerns. One is fiscal impact. Yeah. It just means that this can't go this year. This goes to Ways and Means, and we don't have any. So you can't do that now. Our bill has passed. Our deadline is passed. The word proven legally is not a workable term in this situation. So, Representative Hansen.
Madam Chair, I was just going to see if we could move 16, because we had done that on the other bill. It's the exact same language, and just keeping that language, and if we could get that item of business done before we broke.
I'd like to get this done, because we have, if we could get this bill ready as soon as we get back, it would be fine with me. Representative Hansen has moved A16. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? A16 has been adopted. I think A17 is also not controversial. Am I correct? Okay. Does anybody? Nobody's claiming it? All right. Well, we'll wait until after.
This amendment deals with our master plan language that we were trying to address some concerns that was raised in the policy committee and the public comment period. So this is actually to meet some of the questions that you had raised in the policy committee.
I will move A17. Anybody? And I think this does meet everybody's criteria. Okay. All those in favor of A17 say aye.
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 Any opposition? Okay. Members, we are in recess. We will come back and finish this bill It shouldn't take long, and then with a lot of luck, we'll get the lands bill done this evening. I don't want to go beyond 8 o'clock. So with that, members, and if we don't go beyond 8 o'clock, we don't come in the morning.
Ooh.
That would be my preference.
Think about it. Okay, we're in recess.
Recess is over,
and we have...
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. I was outside playing, and it was great fun. I played with my school superintendents.
Okay. I think we have three amendments. Representative Dill is not here, but we can go ahead.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. We have a new amendment. Do we need to take official action to suspend your rules, or can we just go ahead?
No, you just move Amendment A-18.
Okay. I would like to move the Amendment A-18.
Okay. Representative Torkelson has moved A-18. If Representative Torkelson could say a few words, and DNR could say a few words.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We had some discussions during recess and came up with a much simpler language that gets to the point that we were trying to reach, and I believe DNR is ready to testify in favor.
DNR.
Madam Chair, members, Bob Meyer for the DNR. The language before you on the H2733A18 amendment is something that we do support. It actually clarifies the language by striking potential and asserting negative. This is the way we have been acting on these permits the whole time, so it actually just clarifies that in statute for us. And I believe all the other stakeholders are in support of this language as well.
Okay. Madam Chair, I just add there's no fiscal impact, is my understanding.
Madam Chair, Representative Tarkinson, you are correct. This language does remove the fiscal impact we had talked about previously.
I don't see any more questions. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposition? A-18 is adopted. The next amendment is A-19, amendment that is coming around. Representative Dill, we have two more amendments.
Sounds like we have just total and complete harmony on its way.
It feels like that's what's getting ready to come. I hope so.
I'm looking at smiles around the room. So I don't know how Torkelson beat me back, to be honest with you, because we were at the same place.
No, I wasn't at the same place.
Oh, you weren't?
I was at the Kellyanne.
Oh, well, that's how you beat me back.
Okay, Representative Hansen, I believe this is your amendment.
Madam Chair, and this is what Representative Dillwood and I were talking about earlier. It was inadvertently left out of an engrossment, and just in case it doesn't get picked up in that, I'd like to move the A-19 amendment.
Representative Hansen has moved A-19. Any questions from members?
That's correct, Madam Chair. His assessment of the amendment is correct.
No questions?
I have a question, Madam Chair. Representative Hansen, does this have any relationship at all to ditch viewers?
Madam Chair, Representative Torkelson, nope. This is the inspectors, not the viewers. Mm-hmm. Viewers we're not touching.
There'd be no restriction for a viewer. A viewer could do both. A
viewer can do both.
Thank you.
See no further questions. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? A-19 is adopted. I think we have one more amendment.
Are you referring to the A-20?
While we're getting this around, Representative Packworth, did you have something?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I talked to Representative Dill about this, and on the A-10 amendment that was passed earlier, there were a few words that were left out that we need to include, and it would be on line 120, 1.20, after the word training. If you could insert comma, including the ATV rider course, comma. It's just some language that got left out, if we could include that.
If Madam Chair, Council could.
We had two amendments, Madam Chair, the one that we actually adopted and one that we were working on, and that didn't get together. And so I'm in concurrence with Representative Hackbarth on that wording.
Okay, if Council could repeat it. for the record?
Sure, Madam Chair. Members, it'd be on line 1.20 of the A10 amendments. After training, insert, comma, including the ATV rider course, comma, and rider course is one word. It's a trademark.
I see no questions, no comments. All those in favor of the amendment to the amendment say aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? The amendment is adopted. We have the last amendment, and that is A20. And who is going to be offering this?
I'll move A20, please, Madam Chair.
Okay. Would you, DNR, like to describe the amendment for us?
Madam Chair, yes. This is language that we were able to draft to deal with Representative Fabian's concerns, and actually it does make this section a lot better. It brings it in conformance with the permitting efficiency goals that are in statute. You'll see it allows us to, the time will start 150 days, the 150-day permit limit. It starts after the completed application for permit has been submitted, and then it also adds language that says within 30 business days, we shall notify the applicant whether their application is complete or incomplete. We'll probably notify them within a couple days or the same day we receive it, if possible. It's the same language that's in the permitting goals in Chapter 84, so we are comfortable with this language.
I don't see any questions or comments. All those in favor of the A20 amendment say aye.
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 Any opposition? A20 amendment is adopted. Does anyone from the public wish to offer words of wisdom or comment or question? Is there further discussion on the bill? Representative Dill.
Renew my motion.
Representative Dill renews his motion. The House File 2733, as amended, be recommended to the General Register. Since there is no fiscal impact with this bill, and my understanding, and that is the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? It's moved to the General Register.
Thank you.
So now, Representative Erickson has the last bill. Representative Erickson, this is House File 2301. Members, in my packet, I have three amendments. I don't know they're all going to be offered, but we have three in the packet.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to introduce 2301, and I believe we would like to pass this to the Ways and Means Committee.
Yes.
When we are done. This is the lands bill. We have a couple of amendments. I have a couple of amendments. The A9 amendment is Lake County. There's a couple more parcels. I believe the DNR is in concurrence with these. So I'd like to move the A140979 amendment and the H2301A3 amendment, which is...
Let's do one at a time.
One at a time. Thank you. Okay.
I mean, efficiency is great, but...
Well, we did have that 8 o'clock deadline going, so we're working to get underneath that.
Okay. All right. This is... the amendment, if DNR could come up. Just have a couple of questions from DNR. Could you just let us know how much waterfront is on this piece of land?
Madam Chair, members, these two parcels in Lake County do exceed 150 feet of water frontage. I do not, I have the names of the water bodies, but I do not have the frontage of those two parcels or the quantity of frontage. The staff reviews them and identifies if they exceed 150 feet, and then we do our research review.
So these do exceed 150
feet? These do exceed 150 feet.
But you don't know how much they exceed it by. Do you know the value of the parcels?
Madam Chair, members, the DNR reviews for resource concerns. We do not have authority yet. We do have not responsibility under the statutes to determine the value. That is the county's determination, so we do not review for value of the land. We do review for timber value.
Okay, I want you to say your name for the record, but it's my understanding that part of what you have to review for is the public benefit. Is that not true?
Madam Chair, Kathy Lewis, Lands and Minerals, DNR. The DNR provides under 282.018 for lands bordering public water that need a legislative approval. We provide a recommendation to the legislature on the parcels. As part of our review process, we write a letter to the county identifying any resource concerns and whether we would recommend approval or not. And so our focus is on a resource concern issue that we provide to the county for determination.
So this is different than from the less than 100 and 50 feet, where you have to weigh the public benefits. Is that correct?
Madam Chair, members, the provision under 282.01 is where when the DNR has approval, it's 150 feet or less. And so we are the check and balance for the county board decision. If it's over 150 feet, the DNR has no approval or rejection authority. That's the legislative role, and that so we are in the role of providing recommendations to the legislature on the parcel, and that's we identify once again resource concerns, whether we think it should be withheld from public sale, maintained in public ownership, and that's the kind of response that we provide.
It does seem to me, I mean, I'm not going to oppose your amendment, but it does seem to me in the future we should know how much footage there is and what the public benefit is, because this is lands that the state owns and that we are giving to a county for their benefit. So any other questions from members? Representative Benson?
No, on the maiden bill, I have a question.
Okay.
Thank you, ma'am.
All right. Sure. All those in favor of the A14 amendment, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? I don't see any opposition. That is adopted. The next amendment?
House file, or 2301A3. These are two parcels that are in Lake of the Woods County, and I've been assured by the county official that the DNR person did go out and count every tree that was on these parcels, Madam Chair.
Okay. I think this is, again, it's bordering on public waters, and in the future we should know the footage and what's the public benefit of giving these lands to the county. This issue now has been brought up, and I think more attention will be paid in the future to these lands. So this is the A3 amendment. Do other members have questions? I don't see any questions. All those in favor of the A3 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? The amendment is adopted. Are there any other amendments?
Madam Chair, I've got the A4.
Sorry.
Representative McNamara is moving.
Yeah, Madam Chair, this was originally a DNR initiative, if I remember correctly, and I think it's good policy. Madam Chair, I'd ask for a roll call.
Okay, I would like DNR to come up and talk about this. Just quickly, but members, read this amendment carefully. I asked for it to be taken out of the bill in the Environment Committee. Because in essence what this amendment is doing is saying that all the lands that are on a public water that are less than 150 feet will now be given to the county, even though if you will look at the lines on 1.4, it says all land which is property of the state, and this is property of the state. And if you look on the back of the language that's being deleted, it says on lines 2.6, it says the Commissioner of Natural Resources shall evaluate the lands and their public benefits and make recommendations. So that would no longer happen. We would just be giving these lands to the counties. And the other worry I have here is we don't know the value right now of lands, and we don't have a fiscal note telling us the value of the lands that Representative McNamara is recommending giving to counties. And I think without that dollar known, we should have a fiscal note on this. So with that, Ms. Lewis?
Madam Chair, members, this is a DNR, part of the DNR proposal to remove a layer of government for approval of tax forfeited land sales. So it removes the DNR from approval of, in this particular one, removes it from the approval of the 150 feet or less. Does not, again, remove the legislative approval requirement. And it also removes the DNR from providing recommendations to the legislature. And so that's the heart of the amendment that we brought forth. Is it basically creates some efficiencies in government and removes a layer of government, but it still requires county board approval for selling for less than 150 feet and legislative approval for selling over 150 feet.
Do you have any idea about the value of all of these parcels that you are now recommending, or that Representative McNamara is recommending that be given to the counties?
Madam Chair, members, the value of the lands is determined by the county. The county does not typically provide us that value information. Quite often they do not have it yet, because they will do that after they have received approval in order to proceed with the sale. Then they will have staff assigned to do the sales. Quite often they will not be proceeding with each parcel for sale for a year or two or three. Like Wadena has, for example, not had a sale for 10 years, and they're just getting back into doing the sale business. And so they won't offer all the parcels if they're approved by the legislature 1 year. They will phase it in.
That wasn't my question. My question is, when you change the rules of the game here, essentially we are saying that DNR is saying it's okay that these lands now are with the county, and so the benefit, it's the county that weighs the benefit for the county, and the DNR, which had been weighing the benefit for the people of Minnesota who own the land, will no longer be doing it. So my question to you is, what's the aggregate value of all of this land that you are no longer going to be weighing the benefit of for the people of Minnesota?
Madam Chair, I don't have the value information because it depends on a decision of how much is offered by a county for sale in a particular year at a particular, and which parcels they pick. So, no, I do not have value information for you.
I think we're going to need that, but we can get that in Ways and Means if this bill proceeds to Ways and Means, but I would recommend that people vote no on this. This is a very controversial proposal by DNR. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I have a question after looking at the Land Commissioner letter. And I'm thinking back, Representative McNamara, we've had discussions about the Northwoods project where there was swapping land with tax forfeit land, legacy land. I don't know if you remember that thing. And I'm a little, I think it was involving this particular county. So I'm a little worried about what had happened there with the swapping of land, and if this leads to the same potential where we're swapping land with legacy land, because it's the county that strongly support this particular county supporting this, when we've had a precedent of tax forfeit land being swapped for legacy land. Ms. Lewis, any, I don't know, you or Representative McNamara, I mean, I'm just nervous about that. if we run into the situation again with lands that were already owned by the state, then get given to the county, and then get swapped for other land elsewhere because of they're now under the county's control.
Representative Dill. Thank you, Madam Chair. Question for Ms. Lewis. How many tax forfeit acres are there in the state? Do you know that?
Madam Chair, Representative Dill, there's about 2.8 million acres of tax forfeited land in Minnesota.
So, Representative Hansen, to try and do an analysis on 2.8 million on land that could possibly be out purchased with outdoor heritage account money could be pretty difficult. Secondly, as in one county, I have 950,000 acres. That's two-thirds of the size of the Boundary Waters in one county of tax forfeit land that used to belong. And not only that, but the Boundary Waters lies wholly within that county, is not included in that figure. Not wholly, but partially in that county in St. Louis. And this is land that used to be owned by people that went tax forfeit because they couldn't afford to pay the taxes at the time we got it back. And Ms. Lewis, can you tell us when the county sells that land, what happens to the revenue from that land? I just want to be refreshed on that. And I'm asking a question that I'm not positive I know the answer for, and so I'm opening myself up here. But could you refresh me on the revenue that comes from the tax forfeit land and where it goes?
Madam Chair, Representative Deal, there's provision in Chapter 282 on the distribution of revenue, and it's a fairly complex formula. They work down a series of steps, but there's a county road fund, there's a county bridge fund, there's land that the county designates for a county forest and county parks, and then there is money to split between the school district, town and city, and the county. The Department of Revenue gets a few dollars to pay for the issuance of the state deed. The state itself gets, if there's been a hazardous site and they've had funds put in, the state will get some reimbursement for that. Otherwise, the revenue from the tax forfeited land sales goes to the local taxing districts.
Okay. Well, this affects a lot of, I mean, the letter here from the Association of Land Commissioners, I mean, this affects Aiken, Becker, Trammy, Carlton, Cass, Clearwater, Hubbard, Crow Wing, Itasca, Cooch, Lake of the Woods, St. Louis County, and Pine County. I mean, I'm looking at the counties that I represent, St. Louis, Coochiching, Cook, and Lake. I mean, we got half the tax forfeit land in the whole state right in my backyard. And frankly, we need to sell some of it. And it's problematic to just keep coming back to the legislature every single time when this land was previously owned by people. And I'm supporting the amendment. It's no secret around here that I supported it the last time. It was in my committee, and it was in the bill originally as introduced by Representative Erickson. And I voted against the Wiskenius Amendment, and I lost. And now I'm going to be voting for the McNamara Amendment, and I will continue to do so until our counties get some additional relief, whether it passes or fails.
Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And the one point I wanted to make, Representative Dill and Ms. Lewis did make, to clarify that this money will go back to the counties and distributed by that very complex formula. But to reiterate what Representative Dill said, this is tax forfeited land. That means it was privately owned at one time, and through different times could have been back in the Depression. A lot of it was. It became into state ownership because people quit paying the taxes. And now we have an opportunity to put some of this land back on the tax rolls. And a lot of this land is in northern Minnesota, where it was less economical to keep the land. I think another important point to make on this, and it's for someone like myself, who's been a really strong proponent of us buying land. I'm a big believer at the state there's opportunity to us for buy land. But at the same point, I think we have to face the reality there's spots and places, especially in northern Minnesota, like Representative Dill's district, Representative Fabian Keel, Erickson's district, where we arguably maybe have too much state land on our ownership, and it would be good to put it back. Ms. Lewis, can you remind us what happens to the mineral rights on tax forfeited land? How does that work if it's sold back to a private property owner what happens in the mineral rights?
Madam Chair, Representative McNamara, the statutes provide that the state mineral rights are reserved to the state. The mineral rights and tax forfeited land are reserved to the state. The Department of Natural Resources has authority to lease those mineral rights, and it does do that. And the revenue is returned to the local taxing districts, the counties, the school districts, the county, and there's a small portion that is now taken from that revenue to provide for minerals management expenses by the Department of Natural Resources.
Thank you. Just my last one, Madam Chair. Thank you. Ms. Lewis, and then the property owners, when they buy the property, the county might put it up for auction. There's some cases I think they can do some privates. Maybe they can never do a private sale, I guess. Do we make it clear to them that they're buying the surface rights and the mineral rights are not part of their legal document? And then is this done always by auction, or can it be by private sale?
Madam Chair, Representative McNamara, the state deed is very clear that the state mineral rights are state reserves the mineral rights in all the transactions, and so that's part of the language in the state deeds, and that's very well understood, I believe, by the county land commissioners and the county selling the land. There is provision, to your second question, there is some provision in the statutes for counties to do some direct sales. It's to small parcels that do not fit current zoning standards, and they're allowed to do a sale offering just to the adjacent landowners so they can have parcels that meet standard the zoning setbacks and requirements.
Representative Benson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, Ms. Lewis, I'd like to follow up on Representative McNamara's questioning there. Let's say that these tax forfeited lands, which are in the state's possession now, is not sold, is not, because it sounds like you're saying that once it's sold, then any proceeds from the sale goes mostly to the counties in school districts in that area. Is that correct? Or what proportion of it goes to the state?
Madam
Chair. Any?
Chair, Representative Benson, normally you're going to have less than $40-$50 go to the state of Minnesota. It pays the cost, a very basic cost for the Department of Revenue to issue the state deed, but the rest goes to the counties and city or town and school district.
Madam Chair, that's what I thought you said. And then my follow-up question is, let's say that these tax-forfeited sales are not made. So the land is staying in the possession of the state, and suddenly we discover that there is copper and nickel deposits discovered. If the land is still in the possession of the state, does that change where mineral proceeds would go? Do they go then to the state treasury, or do they continue to go to the county and school districts in that area?
Madam Chair, Representative Benson, the distribution of the revenue from the state mineral leases is prescribed by statute. If a tax forfeited surface is owned with the minerals or just the tax forfeited minerals alone, the revenue distribution is the same. It goes to the county, school district, and town or city with a small portion to DNR for minerals management.
So, Madam Chair, just to be clear, then it doesn't matter whether these sales have transpired or not. If it stays in possession of the state, the distribution of any mineral proceeds would continue in possession of the state. The distribution of any mineral proceeds would continue regardless of whether the state owns it or whether it's now been sold to private entities.
Madam Chair, Representative Benson, with the sale of tax forfeited land, the mineral rights are reserved to the state. And so in that case, the state mineral lease is issued, the revenue comes to the local taxing districts. If the surface has not been sold, and so we lease the surface with the mineral interest, the revenue still is distributed in the same manner to the local taxing districts.
Thank you.
Does anybody in the public want to comment one way or the other on this amendment?
No.
I don't see any. I think it's time for a roll call. Clerk will take the roll.
Wagenius?
No.
Falk?
No.
McNamara?
Yes.
Anderson?
Yes.
Benson?
No.
Bly?
No.
Clark?
No.
Dill?
Yes.
Erickson?
Yes.
Fabian?
Yes.
Freiberg?
No.
Hackbarth?
Yes.
Hamilton? Absent. Hansen?
No.
Kahn?
No.
Keel?
Yes.
Poppy?
Yes.
Torkelson?
Yes.
Ward?
No.
It's 9-9. It fails on a tie. The bill is before us, members. Is there discussion on the bill?
Madam Chair?
Is there? Yes,
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a question for Ms. Lewis or to the author of the bill. Is there any impact, either exchange, sale, conveyances, encumbrances, recreation designations, or any other that I can think of, which would affect any Section 16 or 32nd? 36, excuse me, I misspoke, which are the school trust lands. Is there any impact on school trust lands in any way whatever in this bill?
Madam Chair, Representative, one of the provisions in the bill, which is Section 28, Kanabec County, it is authorizing a land exchange with riparian parcels involved. And the state land might be school trust land involved.
Yes, 16.32 on page 16 says Section 16.
Right. I'd have to double check that, but it might be school trust.
It is school trust, or it could be.
It could be. Some of the parcels
could have been sold, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. And Madam Chair, members, I do not believe any other section affects school trust land.
Madam Chair, it's an important issue for many, because if that property is in trust to the state, the school trust lands trust fund, I don't believe that the state could authorize that sale without some formal process, I would think. So that's an important issue, I think, that needs to be resolved.
We are going to, this bill is going to Ways and Means, and I don't know that there's anybody here who can answer your question, but I do think it has to be resolved. I would agree with you. Yeah. Is it all right to wait till Ways and Means? And then
yes. If we, I think that'd be fair. We have an opportunity to research that. I don't know if Ms. Lewis could do it or whom.
Madam Chair, the Section 28 concerns a land exchange, not a land sale.
Right.
That's true.
The land exchange process requires land exchange board approval, unanimous approval, and that is the governor, state auditor, and attorney general's office. So what we're doing under this bill is just asking for an exception as to riparian. For riparian under the law, the land exchange itself will have to go through the entire review process with the land exchange board, and it will have a value for value valuation, so that the school trust, if it's school trust land, it will have to have equivalent or greater value being exchanged.
All right. Thank you, Madam Chair.
have further questions, I think it's Representative Dill, and then I will ask if the public would like to testify one way on the bill. I believe there are some folks from the public who would like to testify. Representative Dill.
Well, thank you. I think that the matter before us is not the constitutional issue regarding the school trust land, because that's very specific in Section 8 of the Section 8 of the Article 11, whatever it is in there exactly, I have to look it up again. It's very specific that it either condemnation, sale to public auction, or trade of lands of equal value. That's not the issue before us. The issue before us is that there's riparian on this parcel, and that's what we're approving, that it can have an exchange, noting that it's been approved by the legislature because it's riparian. So I really don't see an issue at all on this in terms of following the Constitution and following what the DNR is recommending.
From the public, Sarah Pritchard from the Parks and Trails would like to testify. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. My name is Sarah Pasek, and I represent the Parks and Trails Council of Minnesota. As you know, the Parks and Trails Council of Minnesota is a 501c3 nonprofit organization that exists to acquire, protect, and enhance critical land for the public's use and benefit, and we've been a partner in the development of the state's outdoor recreation system for the past 60 years. We want to express our concern with the provisions contained in Section 29 of the bill, which pertains to the selling of 2.15 acres of state-owned land within Lake Bronson State Park. And I did speak with Representative Erickson and express our concerns, and with Representative Fabian, who I know this is in his district. The language of the bill says that the land is not needed for natural resources purposes, but we believe that land that is owned within a state park and part of a state park boundary should remain within that park and owned by the state. We believe that state law is explicit in saying that state-owned lands designated as state parks are perpetually dedicated. And so I just want to thank you for the opportunity for the Parks and Trails Council to express our concerns. We think that this could set a precedent for the selling of other potentially valued lands located within state park boundaries. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Are there questions for our testifier? Thank you for bringing that to our attention. Are there questions from members? This buying and selling land within state parks boundaries is a tricky one. We spend huge amounts of public money to buy lands within state park boundaries. And so it does have to be the huge exception to the rule that this is different. Representative Erickson.
Yes, it's my understanding that these plots are part of a private subdivision that's within the park. I think Representative Fabian might have some more words on this. It's not like you're breaking up or selling parts scattered all over. They're in this one subdivision. So I think Representative Fabian probably could explain it better than I.
Thank you, Madam Chair. At the Lake Brunson State Park, there have been private lots in that park for years and years and years, and Ms. Lewis could probably make the legal descriptions a little bit better. No, Ms. Lewis can make the legal descriptions way better than I can. But these lots are intermingled in and amongst private lots that are there. You know, they're not on the lake. And the idea behind it, and working with the Kitson County Board of Commissioners and park staff and so forth and DNR staff, is to try to pull all this together so that there's not conflicts over who's going to plow the snow, because there are people that have lived there and do live there for years and years. This is their seasonal homes. So there are some issues with who's going to plow snow, who's responsible in the park, and all that kind of stuff. So it's just a way to kind of clean up some intermittent parcels within the park. And, you know, it's something that's been worked on, and there's a broad agreement in Kitson County, and the people are very appreciative of this. You know, there's no subversive attempt to try to close the park and, you know, do all these other things. It's a great park. It's used by lots and lots of people. They have the Wood Carvers Festival there. If you're ever in Lake Brunson, Minnesota in the summer, come on up. And the Wood Carvers Festival there is the first weekend in August. I know Representative Benson, you're going to have some free time. You're not going to have to be campaigning. Actually, you could come up and help me maybe. But you know, so it's a very worthwhile project. And I applaud the DNR for doing this and Representative Erickson for including it in the bill. And if you ever have any questions about it, come on up to my office, and we'll jet you on up to Kitson County. It's only about 400 miles from here, so.
Thank you.
It's my understanding that DNR has agreed that the money from the sale of these parcels will be used to buy additional lands within this state park. Would DNR testify to that?
Madam Chair, members, Bob Meyer, Department of Natural Resources. I'm passing around just an aerial photo of the map that does show the platted boundaries. And the circled lots that are there are the ones that we're looking to sell. We own the green bordered lots. The white ones are all privately owned on the lakeshore. Our intention, is Representative Fabian mentioned, is working with Kitson County. We want to buy some of the more undeveloped parcels within the park. There's two Bible camps that are outlined on that map, and those may be coming up for sale in the future. We would rather focus our in-holding acquisitions on those large parcels, and as Representative Fabian said, try to work with the neighbors within the park to help deal with some of the problems that we're having there. So that's our desire, and our intention is the funds from these sales would go to the land acquisition account that would be held there for park acquisition to buy expand those parcels in the park if it ever comes available.
Thank you. I don't see any other questions or comments. Would you like to renew your motion, Representative Erickson?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Representative Erickson renews his motion that House File 2301 as amended be re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? Aye. It is referred. Members, we're going to do the minutes of March 23rd, and then I want to, I mean, 25th. Who will do those?
I'll move those minutes.
Representative Bly will move those minutes of March 25th. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? Minutes are adopted. Members, here's the situation. We don't have any bills before us. We did our job. We have met the deadline, and we will have bills next week, but because we were efficient and worked well tonight, we will not be meeting in the morning. Are you all thrilled, please? No, you're not thrilled. You want to meet in the morning?
I like morning.
Do we need to vote on that, or can I just say we're not going to meet in the morning?
Say it, please.
Members, we're not going to meet in the morning, and with that, meeting is adjourned.